The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is fun. This is a fun. I saw somebody on Twitter. First of all, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call
it's
it.
It's called X.
That dead app.
You type X.com, it goes to the site formerly known as Twitter. So, right. So it's X now.
Yeah, baby. I still call it Twitter, but whatever, X.
His mama named him Twitter. I'm going to call him Twitter.
Ain't his mama no mo. That ain't mama no mo.
Daddy here.
This is stepdad. The stepdad can't be changing the kid's name. I don't care what nobody say.
I saw somebody say, ask this question, or they were like, isn't Ben Affleck way more popular than Jennifer Lopez? And I was like, I don't think that's true.
That feels like an offensive question.
Well, you know what it is? I don't. You go ahead.
Okay,
James,
well,
go ahead.
I would say that that J-Lo,
or more famous, I would say, not even popular, more famous,
is probably arguably a more global star than Ben Affleck is, just in the various avenues that she is a part of. But once you're in something like the Snyderverse, then like people know you that wouldn't even know, you know, once you play an iconic role like Batman, you also sort of crossover into a lane that's like probably bigger than the other things.
I mean, a lot of people have played Batman though.
I know, but he's the most recent Batman next to, what do you call it? but I also think it's hard to compare the two. That's it. That's.
I mean, to me, I agree. I think the thing is, they're two different people. I think Jennifer Lopez is a superstar, and I think Ben Affleck is a movie star. And the difference is that Jennifer Lopez is probably known for her music culturally, but like Ben Affleck. I mean, I hate to say it, when it comes to Hollywood, this motherfucker got pulled. I just watched this thing on, he had an interview with Kevin Hart recently, and he talks about how he sold, him and Matt Damon sold Good Will Hunting. And it's, I mean, but truth be honest, it is truly one of those, in a different era, two dudes, white dudes, came out of nowhere and like made a bunch of money. And like, he still has pull now.
White dudes.
Yeah, but this is not. This wasn't talking about who has the most pull in Hollywood. It was talking about who is more famous.
I would say J-Lo.
That was somebody with a frame of reference for the two of them. That like, for whatever reason, they see Ben Affleck more than they see J-Lo. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like that's
like it's somebody who likes movies.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I know Ben Affleck more, even though Jennifer Lopez is also a movie star.
Absolutely.
And been in movies that, I mean.
I would say her bigger movies were, like, we're past, like, when her bigger movies, you know, like, she was, like, bigger in the 90s, early 2000s in movies than she is now.
Right.
You know, and, like, we sort of talk about, like, her legacy now, whereas, like, Ben, I guess is sort of still feels still active in that way, even though like this movie just came out with J-Lo and she like keeps making movies, you know, but like we talk about her like a legacy, you know? And
yeah, I mean, right. She was in, I mean, do you think that her rom-coms that she's done recently are more watched than like Ben Affleck's, like, I don't know, like The Way Back. Like, I don't think that many people were watching that.
No, and I was just talking about, what do you call it, Shotgun Wedding on Gabrus's podcast, and like Gabrus was like, that was hot garbage. So but I liked it.
I can't think of and here's the thing, outside of Selena, which is honestly a very tough film debut to have, that's like coming out with like an album that you can't really top. Like that's coming out with like a freshman album that's just like, what do you do with that?
Yeah. And then she topped it with Anaconda.
Which also, come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Anaconda. Yeah, exactly.
Come on, baby.
And then that run of rom-coms, they were like, they were big. We loved them. People was going to the theater.
Yeah. Like, I mean, two of them included Ben Affleck, of course.
Except for Geely. Geely was.
That's one of the ones that
included. Geely and Jersey Girl.
Oh, yeah. They had to burn the film from that one. But you know what? She's in one of my favorite romance movies ever made. She's in Out of Sight, and she's fantastic in it.
Oh, that's one of your most famous.
Out of Sight is one of my favorite movies. It stars George Clooney, directed by Steven Soderbergh. George Clooney, Jennifer Lopez. It's a young Don Cheadle, like before he was like, you know, coming up. There's a scene with a pre-fame Viola Davis. She's in like one scene, and it's just a fantastic movie. And it's sexy without being like doing the most. It's just so, the way he shoots them, the way she moves, is like, it is one of the hottest movies you ever see. It's fantastic. Fantastic. I like J-Lo.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes J-Lo be J-Lo-ing though.
I mean, but you're going, once you become someone like that, you're gonna be Jenny from the Block, you know? Like, sometimes it's just gonna be like, there she go being Jenny from the Block again, and you're like, well, that's, you know, that's right. What you sign up for when you get to, like, icons and stuff.
Yeah.
But also, sometimes I feel like an icon doesn't do that. Like, I know people are like, y'all ain't gonna talk about the internet. People were dragging her this year from her documentary and stuff like that.
Sure.
Absolutely. I keep seeing them TikToks where they're like, look,
you deserve to get dragged for that.
All of these people saying all of her, this person saying this song, this person saying that song. It's just listen, like, man. Just going.
Hey, I
saw one of them. I was like, damn, why she sound like J-Lo? Oh, because that was her.
I'm here for the dance moves anyway, James.
I was too. I still think about, there's one iconic bend and snap in which one? Which one? It's not Waiting for Tonight. It's not Waiting for Tonight. It's the other one.
The one with Ja Rule?
The other one. Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love Don't Cost a Thing. Yeah, that's the one. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's a moment in that video where I was like, well, there it is forever. I will watch.
Well, there it is forever. She's also an incredible host on
this nigga said, yo,
wait. World of Dance. There it is forever.
Yo, what a line. Well, there it is. I'm sorry. That is the silliest thing I've ever heard.
That's how I felt.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I just felt like, because J-Lo is in a, but she's got the music and the movies, hosting the TV and then the beauty products. And then just, I assume she has more, maybe Ben Affleck's not on social media like that. I just felt like, from a global standpoint, you know, it's like J-Lo is more famous. Like, if you were to look at an atlas. Agreed.
Wait, what? If you were looking at atlas?
The agreed came so quickly.
Wait.
Yeah, no, it was perfect. Agreed. No, I'm glad Gerard agreed with me.
Wait.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah,
she
you
is
agreed with me.
She's a superstar if you look at an atlas.
Yeah, if you look across, I mean, if you look, you know, like across an atlas. Standpoint. Yeah, honestly, yep.
You don't see, do we have the same idea what an atlas is and what it shows?
If you look across an atlas, it's,
you know.
So we all,
if you look at.
So the three of us know what the atlas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take out an atlas.
Okay.
Across, you know, when you're looking at said atlas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's more famous?
Take out an atlas. Take out an atlas.
So let me get this straight before.
Take it out.
We're going to start, but just for the audience at home. Yeah. Everyone should go and get an atlas. Yeah. And when they open the atlas, just there's a certain page, they just open it.
It's like I'm looking at the atlas. J-Lo is known all over this atlas. You know?
Oh my gosh. Skylar, cut the mic.
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock.
James the Third.
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I like both. You asked me when I first met you if I like pie or cake. I like both.
What a perfect line to pull.
James.
That absolutely captures this film. I mean, that was one of your greatest pulls.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
I like both. That's amazing. hey, you know what? Welcome, everybody. Listen, you've come at a great time. This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors and people of color. Okay. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Yep. That's what we do here on this show. Mm-hmm. There are three of us who host it. The voice you're listening to right now, man, just kill me if AI takes over. Just do that. I don't want to be here.
Yo, what the fuck?
I don't want to be here. If AI take it over, just end it.
Oh my God.
Blow me up.
You need to clarify which voice is speaking right now.
Oh, right. That's the voice that's making that statement Jonathan Braylock.
Oh, man. Okay.
You asking to be killed during an imminent future.
An AI will find it and they'll clock me and they'll, you know, get it done. All right.
And AI is coming back. And AI is coming. They're going to take over. So, Bray, listen, enjoy today, tomorrow, because they here, baby. They here. This voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
All right, I don't know why it felt shady.
All right,
I don't know why, but
we are reviewing the Netflix film Atlas.
God,
that came out this year. It stars Jennifer Lopez. I guess you could say that it also stars Simu.
It's
Sterling K. Brown and Mark Strong.
That's a tough one.
I mean, they're all in it technically.
Yes. People are in there. There are other actors in this movie.
There's people in it.
I feel like
there's people in it.
Yeah, this is a tough
one. I got to give a shout out. My classmate is in this.
Oh,
Greg. Greg, he's the robot. He's the robot.
Wait, this guy's your classmate? Gregory James Cohen?
Yeah, he's the robot.
I was just about to look up who did that.
Me too.
Yeah, when you see like the pilot of the ship for a brief second, that's him. But yes.
Right.
I remember, cool. He was auditioning for it. We did not understand what was happening.
Wait, did you know that he was in the American Society of Magical Negroes?
Wait, he was in the Magical Negroes?
It says he plays a guard.
Oh, guard. Okay.
A guard? No.
Look at that. You got to go back and rewatch that film and check and see his cameo.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right, get this work, bro. No wonder you ain't been in class.
So this film, wait, did you, how high did it rank on the Netflix views?
It was number one.
I thought it was up there. I thought it was at least number one once.
It was number one. I actually saw it the very first weekend it came out because I was cleaning my apartment and I just wanted, that didn't sound good, but I was cleaning my apartment and I was like, I'll throw this on. And
I don't think that's a bad thing to say about a movie on a streaming platform because we know you used to just put stuff on. You used to just put on TV and then a channel would play. But now that that's not as common, they're trying to, you know, make content where that you would want to do that too. So I think it's okay. I don't think it's shade necessarily.
So this Deadline article said that it got near 60 million viewers, global viewers.
Oh, wow.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I mean, the budget is $100 million. So I'm like, if that was in theaters, that didn't do good.
And it was number one for 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks?
Number one for 2 weeks.
Oh, well, hell yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So I think this counts as a success for them. Yeah. I don't understand how Netflix movie, how they rank success like that. But okay, the budget is reportedly $100 million,
Shit.
Which I don't understand how. I truly do not understand.
I can't tell.
I understand how. I was watching this movie being like, they're throwing money away. Like,
how much was that movie with John David Washington that was also a sci-fi movie that came out a couple years ago? Like that,
That was like 85. Like it was like so cheap.
Yeah, it had like, it was cheap. Okay. Yeah, wait, yeah.
And the freaking special effect. I mean, to be fair, it was also nominated for an Oscar for its special effects, but its special effects. I mean, it makes this movie look like a television movie, which I don't know. In essence, it kind of is.
Yeah. John David was 80. It was 80 million.
Wow.
$100 million. I don't understand that. All right. Okay. A group of humans in the year 2043 are going to hunt down an AI terrorist who was responsible for killing roughly 3 million people. I think that's what they said, around the globe. He flew away. They're trying to hunt him down and take care of him. And J-Lo is out
there. We gonna have fully mobilized armies like that in 20 years?
in 20 years?
Are we that close?
I got robots delivering food. James, bro. I have robots, full fleets, trained.
But trained humans with the Neuralinks? In 20 years?
Have you not seen that robot that be boxing and shit and the other one that twerks?
I be seeing it, but that just feels close. It just feels James, too soon.
James, I got robots that deliver food now. Not humans. Little robots.
No, James is right.
Yeah, it's too soon for that.
5 years, we gonna see the first robo soldier.
I don't believe that more robots will be used.
Not an AI soldier.
But yeah, full on AI. And like they have like the hyper gate around Earth in 20 years?
Because the aliens are going to come, y'all. The aliens are already here. Soon.
Well, yeah, we already work on it. Everybody work on that. Trump did the Space Force thing. Exactly. We're working on the aliens.
The aliens are going to help us out because that's how they built the pyramids. Duh.
All right. It just feels too soon. They could have tacked 50 years onto that or something. They could have done something. It's too soon. 20 years.
I feel you. I feel that makes sense.
I guess like the movie starts in the year 2043 and then it's like 28 years later after that. But I still think that's way too soon. All right.
Anyway. Oh, okay. But the movie's like 80 years from now or 60 years from now when the movie takes place.
Like the majority of the movie takes place, about 50
and
years
the, from and
now.
And the like AI becoming self-aware is like, okay, all right, cool.
Is 20 years?
Okay, all right. All right, now I'm on board. I'm closer on board now.
I still don't think. Our space travel is, space travel, we're too far from that, man. We're far.
Yeah, we're too far from that space travel for sure. For sure.
Whatever. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
What's up, y'all? Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so watch your payday. The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Ooh, man, listen. You can use Earnin' for a variety of things, like a special night out if you got a big date, a last minute gift, Father's Day is coming up. I mean, listen, James, I could get you a little something for Father's Day,
I always appreciate when you give somebody a gift for one of those days, but they are not your father or mother or whatever. I always like that. It's always nice.
Yeah, so you see the work. Just download Earnin' a Day, spelled EARNIN. In the Google Play or Apple Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details.
Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Don't earn out, earn in.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're going to talk about, let's go into initial thoughts. Atlas.
Let me start. I think Jarrah saw this a bit ago and had what, and I'm not going to say what his opinion was, but I think he said that he thought I might like it. And I will just say.
I said that?
I think you did. And I will just say, about 10, 15 minutes into the movie, I was like, oh, damn, Jarrah's right. I was enjoying kind of like the first act. I was like, I think I'm fine with this. Like, I don't quite feel any type of negativity towards this. I can understand some of this feels a little like we've been here before. But like, I don't know. I think but then as the movie went on, I'll just say that I feel like apart from it being the subject matter being something that like we've just explored so many different times, and it doesn't feel like this is necessarily bringing anything new to that as an idea, because her journey is Will Smith's journey in iRobot. It's the same journey, so it's like we've dealt with this stuff before. Sure. I'll say that I was like, my biggest issue was like, oh, we're spending too much time with just her. Like, if this was like a bunch of people in those robots and doing all kinds of stuff, and we were like cutting away from her and it wasn't like all on J-Lo's shoulders, I feel like I would have enjoyed the movie more. But yeah, but I mean, you know that, and then the second thing is like that we've just sort of dealt with this. It doesn't feel like it's bringing much new to the AI conversation, and then to all of the different movies that have been made about this stuff. But like, I don't know, fun apart from that is what I'll say. I don't know if I like loved the movie, you know, but like, mm-hmm. apart from those things, like, I can see why a movie like this gets made. And I wish we had more from the actors, from Simu and from Sterling, because they were part of the draw for me. Like, I was like excited to see this movie with these three actors in it. But then like the other two just are like Simu doesn't even really show up until over halfway through the movie. Like, it's like, yeah, we're past the halfway mark when we really see him like in scenes. And so like, that was just disappointing. And at that point where we have already sort of gotten rid of Sterling. And so it's like, we sort of hand the movie over to him in a way. I don't know. I just wanted a little bit more. So that's why those are my general initial thoughts.
Great. I like sci-fi I think it's my favorite genre. Or at least it's a genre that I find myself watching a lot. And, you know, it does have some bad movies in it. And this is one of them. And that's okay. That's okay. I think exactly what James said. This film doesn't, to me, add anything really much to the AI conversation. I think that it is so hard for me to care about AI if it does not have a human face attached to it. And mm-hmm. the main emotional storyline that they wind up having in this film is to a robot that is essentially only a voice. Now, that being said, that's also what Her did, and Her did really well. This movie, not so much.
This is not Her. This ain't Her.
This ain't her. This is she. No, I'm just kidding. That's a dumb inside joke.
You had to work it in.
This is she.
But I didn't buy it. I didn't buy the emotional crux of this story.
Mm.
Damn.
So when it finally happened, I was just like, it was a, kind of a letdown because the movie was holding that close to its chest as if it was going to be some interesting reveal. And I personally did not think it really was. I felt like J-Lo was playing an interesting character and there was something there to it, but we didn't, I didn't get enough. I didn't feel like I got enough of her being this genius that could beat a computer program at chess 74 times in a row. You know, like I was like, well, where is that? Like, I feel like we barely saw that. I feel like we saw it in one scene in the beginning and that's basically it. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff. The Neuralink stuff was like semi-interesting, but like not nearly delved into enough. And I thought the action was pretty generic and kind of, you know, it wasn't. So like this movie, I don't know. It just didn't do it. It didn't do much for me. And the premise was also, I didn't think it was that necessarily that strong of a premise. Some of these movies have strong premises and maybe they don't execute them like fully. Like what was that Julia Roberts, David Oyelowo, or was it David Oyelowo?
Yeah, I didn't see that, but wait. Yeah.
Leave the World Behind.
Oh, it was it wasn't David Oyelowo. It was Mahershala.
Mahershala, sorry. Yeah, Leave the World Behind. I thought that that film had like a really interesting premise. Like the ending didn't quite work for me, but it was like engaging in the fact that I was like, what's, you know, it was intriguing. I wasn't that intrigued. I don't know what else to say. So I think it was script problems for me. That said, I am happy that there were three people of color in like some of the top roles, even though we didn't get enough Simu, we didn't get enough Sterling, but you know, I enjoyed that fact. But yeah, I agree. Like, it's crazy that this movie was cost $100 million and it truly felt like they were trying to save money like all over the place. Or at least the script was trying to save money by like barely having any people in this and like having her be alone for most of it. So I am really curious to hear what Jarrah's insights on that are, because I don't get it. I don't get it.
It was hot garbage.
Damn, Jarrah, damn. Okay, no, I don't think it deserves. No, it deserves this. It does not deserve.
This is an example. This is an example of, hey, you don't need to give a movie a bunch of money if it's throwing money at the problem. Don't fix the problem. You needed a better script, bro. There are certain points in this movie, it looked like J-Lo was just in a video game.
I was like,
she's
mad.
Just clearly like in a green screen. She's just in a video game.
But it was
game.
Like watching her play the VR. Like,
oh
watching
my gosh.
A person play VR.
But this is my thing, James. This is my thing. I'm going to be truthfully honest, and this is no shade to Jennifer Lopez. I'm a person that watches more YouTube than anything. I will sometimes watch somebody play a game and be like, huh, do I want to buy that game? Maybe not, because they make it look fun. If this was a game, I'm not buying that game. Okay? I want no parts of the game. Okay? Look, man, how dare you? How dare you have a movie with freaking Sterling K. Brown and you don't use Sterling K. Brown? The thing is, I don't understand why he was in it. And people probably like, I don't understand what was happening on their press tour, but it felt like Sterling was trolling her nonstop. And we just like, no one understands what was going on, whether it was a joke, whatever. It's probably because he watched this movie and was like, y'all niggas ain't put me in the movie. He didn't get one big scene in the movie. Sterling K. Brown. Sterling K. Brown is
always.
But
he knew the script, right?
I don't know, James.
He knew the script.
Maybe it was a work in progress, like dead ass. I'm like, because I don't understand. Because this director, Brad makes big movies too. Like, I don't get it. Maybe people, you know what? The strike was coming. People had to get their money up, and it was like, yo, let's get this money real quick because this strike is coming. Maybe that's why they did it. I don't get it. Simu, nigga, your movie last summer was Barbie. And now, less than 12 months later, you went Atlantis?
He didn't get to do much in Barbie
Atlas,
either.
What is this?
Just speaking of.
Barbie was way more fun, okay?
And certainly. Barbie, no, I agree. I'm just remarking on
he
that.
He got to chew up scenery. In this movie, nigga, man, The special effects were so bad in this movie, it made Marvel special effects look Oscar winning, yo. That's how good these shit. That shit was bad.
Ah, come on. So Marvel has some good special effects.
Aren't Marvel special effects Oscar winning? Aren't some of them?
Not no more. Not no more. I'm a Marvel fan, baby. Marvel special effects ain't been good since like 2014, 2016. Let's be real, bruh. Let's be real. And it's not their fault, but all I'm saying, my last simple thing, is the point of this story made no sense. James brought up iRobot. And the beauty of iRobot is that one, we get two things that's happening at the same time. And this movie tries it so well. But I think the issue is that I can't tell, and this, I'm going to be honest, I can't tell if it was J-Lo or if it was the script. Because paint by numbers, she's going through the same emotional journey Will Smith goes through. At the beginning of the movie, he instantly hates robots before we even see him have to talk to one. He talks to his boss. He's like, fucking robots, blah, 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 blah. J-Lo does the exact same thing. And we even see a piece of J-Lo's history before we see Will Smith's in iRobot. So they even try to get it in quicker. But there are certain points in this movie where she's so upset with everybody. And then even when she's upset the first time with the robot and the machine, I was like,
I'll say, in my opinion, it is more script than J-Lo.
Yeah.
Just this specific thing, it is more script than J-Lo. Absolutely. There are times where I like struggle to connect with J-Lo in some of these scenes, but this specific thing you're talking about, like why iRobot is better and why you follow that journey for, yeah, and obviously Will Smith is just the most charismatic person on the planet, but why you connect to him more is that's a better script than this is for sure. Cause you also get to see, like, it's like he interacts with more people throughout the entire movie, whereas there's just a point in this where it's only her interacting with the robot that she doesn't want to connect with. And there's not much, there's not much for her to do or to butt up against besides the one thing that she doesn't want to connect with, you know? Mm. That's what I think.
Also, like,
that's what I think.
Think about that. Like, iRobot is such a great film. It's so funny how you gain appreciation for films that you already liked even more when you see bad ones like that try to do the same thing. Like, I already always thought that iRobot was a good movie, and then we reviewed it and I was like, man, this is a really good movie. And then now we're talking about it, I'm like, iRobot is a masterpiece. I don't know. Like, that's what it feels like. But like, in iRobot, we see him think a robot is doing something bad at the top of the movie. And he chases it down and he's doing all this stuff. And then people are like, hey, that robot was just returning my purse. Like, you are paranoid and have a problem with robots and none of us do. This movie starts with AI killing 3 million people. So she's already right.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it doesn't make any sense for them not. It doesn't make sense for the world to not be suspicious of the AI. Of course they should be, you know. And it's, and like, we don't get, like, yeah, go ahead.
Well, just to that point, the moment, I mean, and I guess no one knows this because no one was there except for J-Lo, but like, the thing that ended up being the biggest problem was that Simu was given the opportunity to Neuralink. And like, and then once that happened, it was just like he was evil and they were all, you know, and figured out how to make them all evil. And so it's such a strange thing to realize that, like, it's like that was the problem. It's like the problem was that, you know.
Which, by the way, that doesn't quite. And sorry, we're gonna spoil. If you haven't seen this film, we're gonna spoil it. We'll try to talk about it a little bit.
No, don't. Really need to see it. If you haven't seen it, don't.
That part, don't. You know, not to jump to the end, but
yeah, I'm sorry. I just was thinking about it
because that part to me, that doesn't make sense, because Simu clearly was already somewhat evil, because it was clear that he.
That's what he wanted. He had that motivation. Yeah, exactly.
He already had the motivation. So it wasn't, that's not what turned him. It just what gave him the ability to do the thing, the bad stuff. But I have so many questions about. All right. But let's start at the beginning of this movie, because.
Do we have to?
Like I said, we start off with AI being bad. Everybody knows this. Humans manage somehow to win. We don't really know how. They don't really explain that to us, I guess, other than just that everybody like formed an alliance and, like, you know, it was like we all came together and we and he escaped from the planet. Again, I don't even know how that possibly happened, but whatever. He was able to escape from the planet.
He escaped on a rocket ship, Bray. They show him leaving on a rocket ship.
I know. I saw that. I'm just saying, it feels like it takes a while for a rocket ship to get out of the Earth's atmosphere.
No, Bray. Not no more. There's no possible way to shoot a rocket ship out of the sky as it leaves in the slowest fashion of all time.
You mean to tell me they got a whole force field around the entirety of Earth, but couldn't shoot him down?
Well, that wasn't when he was there yet.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you have the capability to do that eventually.
Yeah, like, don't we have that already? Doesn't the U.S.
that's
already
what
have?
Space Force,
yes, that's what Space Force is. Right?
That's yeah, what Space like, Force is. Like, don't we have the... Everybody's figuring out. They're truly figuring out how to get, like, how to shoot lasers really far into the atmosphere.
I know we have the capability to shoot down intercontinental ballistic missiles, like, to intercept them so that... Anyway. Okay, so...
Can't shoot down a spaceship, dude.
Whatever. So, but then we get to it's like 28 years later, Earth's built like this force field around Earth, they don't know where he is. And the first thing we see is they're like, oh, here's an AI that's been on the run that we're trying to capture. And we see how deadly he is, and he's killing guards left, like SWAT team, whatever these people are, he's killing them left and right. They're having a really difficult time, but then they finally shoot him with some energy blast and they're able to capture him.
I liked this scene. I like the scene. Mm-hmm. Black Terminator coming in, mess people up. Uh-oh, you ain't like this?
I mean, it was fun.
I actually think this was one of the best action sequences
in the movie. This opening was fun. Yeah, I had fun.
I'm going to say what's hard about this scene is I watched this during the day, and so I couldn't see it. Like, I was like, I couldn't see it because the way they shot it, which is another thing. It's like, why the fuck are they shooting stuff so dark? I can't see. And I got good eyesight, okay? Like, literally, I got to cut off I got to close every window.
Things are bright and everything. Oh, okay.
I went through and did the readjust.
You're on the Vivid?
Yeah, baby, Vivid. Come on. Listen, I'm going to make the visual look visual, but the problem is it got shot so dark, and no offense, I couldn't see the brother. All I saw was his teeth and his gun. Like, no offense, I couldn't see him.
All right, I could see him.
I could see him too.
I'm not even trying to be a dick.
I don't get a lot of natural light in my apartment, and that could be why too. So maybe it wasn't super washed out for me.
Man, I got natural light.
But here's the first major script problem I have. Actually happens immediately. Okay. So they capture him, and Mark, what's his name? The Stanley Tucci looking
strong.
so he says something like, we caught blah 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 for the first time. Do you know what this means? And J-Lo's like, I was right. And then he goes, or he's setting a trap. And that was the first first thing that was introduced, right? And so knowing where this movie goes to.
Yes. 100%.
Why did nobody and we're supposed to be thinking about how right J-Lo is the whole movie, but she's
It doesn't make any sense. It's just like logically why 28 years like you just happened to find this randomly. We just happened to find him. Like, of course, like you have to think it's a part of a plan.
Absolutely.
Like,
and for her to know, because she even says in two scenes, she goes, he always has a plan. He always has a trap. So, like, if that's how you feel about him, then why are you not operating like he's going to have a trap instead of, like, we have to mobilize against him right now? Like, none of this opening makes sense after him.
I think first of all, I hate this. I hate that the script does this, like, really... To me, it's lazy and I don't like it. it's like paint by numbers. Like, the script does this thing where Sterling K. Brown comes in and he's like, you're bringing her in? Here's who she is. She's a recluse. She doesn't do. I don't even think she could take care of a plant. She doesn't like people. She And we're just told all these things about her instead of just seeing her. Ugh. And I was just like, okay. Also, all the things that you're talking about doesn't make it. Like, I was just like, she can't take care of a plant? What does that have anything to do with strategy and AI? What does that have anything to do with any of what we're talking about? Whatever.
It has to do with the her discovering a plant later and her being given plenty back at the end. That's all it has to do with.
Oh, oh my God.
They just want you to, they're just trying to set that.
So she comes in and she's like, and so she interviews this guy and she finds out. And this was the only scene where it felt like smart, where she was like, forget it. I found it, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, what? And then she's writing something down. What are you writing down? You know? And then he's like, you're never going to find it. And then it's like, F you, robot. And she was like, I knew that you would check your memory to see if I had accessed it. And so that's how I found it and that all thing. And I was like, okay, that seems clever. That's smart. She finds out where he is. Everybody's clapping. Then we get the, like, we're sending a ground team.
It was cool, but I'm still upset because it's like, that feels like the trap, which ultimately it ends up being the trap. But like,
which is what she says. This is what she says in the next scene. This is my point. It doesn't make any. She's like, wait, you're going to go send a grant. Like, this guy, his whole design is to capture humans set traps. Like, you're going to send a ground team. And like, that's ridiculous. This is stupid and dumb. And they're just like, okay.
But it makes no sense why, like, okay, since we're here, the fact that she goes on this trip, at this point, I technically don't know what she does. She's just an analyst, right? Like, she's not, like, in the field.
Yes, and I think the only thing she's supposed to be doing is helping. So it seems like her role is supposed to be anticipating his moves because she knows him like no one else. So, like, in my opinion, she failed at every step of the way for this mission because...
Well, it's like she did not... it's like none of them, including her, anticipated that he would have the capability to build weaponry that could fire from the planet to space.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, none of them thought that he would have the capability to shoot down their spaceship. They didn't think about it once. Nobody said it. Nobody talked about it at all. And so...
And there were also no, like, radar that sensed...
They have nothing on this... Yeah,
nothing.
It was, like, the most literally insane thing warning. Gets them. No warning at all. They're getting ready to mobilize onto the planet. And they get hit.
I don't know how that's possible. I don't know. I just don't understand how that's possible.
I agree.
How do we not have, how is there nothing?
It doesn't make any
nothing?
Sense.
All right.
Makes
so
no
whatever.
Makes
so they
no
get
sense.
A surprise attack. And then not only that, not only does he have that capability, he sensed that he has the capability to know when they showed up, to shoot them down from the sky. And then obvious, and this is the part that they should have been prepared for, but they seemingly weren't, which is once they get into the planet's atmosphere, he's got drones that are shooting them all down.
Yeah.
And they're taking them out so easily.
Yeah.
Like, easy. Pretty much everybody dies before they even get to the ground.
And I think all of this moved too quickly for me. But they had said that the reason they weren't prepared for that is they thought that the storms was going to cloak their descent. So they thought that they were going to be literally under cover of the storms to get there. So that's why they were like so ambushed by it. But it's like a thing that you would think you would be prepared for you thought that you were the one doing they thought they were the ones doing the ambushing.
That's
I guess.
Doing an ambush.
But they were ambushed. Their ambush was ambushed. it doesn't make any, it's not the smartest thing to write, you know, when it has already been planted in our heads that he is going to have the upper hand. So assuming you have the upper hand you can't assume that you ever have the upper hand because you don't, because he does. Anyway, it's fine.
And so not only that, but once they apparently, and we don't actually see this, but because once she gets on the ground and she gets knocked out and whatever, and then she comes to and this robot suit that she's in that has a Neuralink. They're like, hey, Neuralink with me. And she's like, I don't want to because of my trauma. And she's walking around. we see other people who are dead, and she's looking at them, and she's like, they didn't die on impact. Like, they were shot here on the ground. And when that, I was like, so not only were you guys ill-prepared for all of this, you still suck on the ground. Like, the few people who made it to the ground couldn't do anything? Yes. How is that possible?
Yes, and then
how are that you makes, that?
And then that makes it hard to believe that the analyst that doesn't know what she's doing is going to get of this, get out of this ambush of six versus one. And she doesn't even have the Neuralink. So she doesn't, she is like, she doesn't know how to use this device that she's in. And also on top of that, she's not connected with it to understand all of its intricate ins and outs. So like,
right. So, which is supposed to be, make you even stronger.
So you expect us to just believe that she did get out of this safely when all of these trained soldiers didn't.
That's my thing. Is like, this is such a huge, like, I don't know if you call it plot hole. I don't know what you want to call it. The fact that this script, at towards the end of the script, is supposed to build up this Neuralink thing, but we've never seen this Neuralink work. In fact, all the people who have successfully done the Neuralink are literally dead.
Yep.
I don't understand
how we didn't see Sterling and Zoe on the ground. Like, we should have seen that ambush, and at the very least, seen Sterling and the one AI we know exceptionally get out of what's going on,
killing a lot of people before they got right.
Anything like that would have been fine. I would have been like, okay. You know, like,
That's why I thought this movie had no money.
Yeah.
That's why I thought this movie had no money. Cause I was like, how do we not get that scene?
See, I knew it had money. Cause I'm like, all that stuff, like the whole movie looks green screen. It just didn't write it. What is interesting though, to me, is like, if you're going to like you said, if you're going to have them, you're going to have Sterling down there, you're not going to show this fight. Then to me, it was so hard because this movie had no tension at that point. Like, we don't see how big and bad the threat is. Like, we kind of saw it in the past. We saw that one dude, and I'm like, okay, now we need to level it up. We saw them battle in the sky, kind of, and all of a sudden, magically, everybody's dead. And also, my thing is, if it's going to be some part of the Neuralink and J-Lo doesn't do it, I don't know. I just feel like we didn't know enough about the machines or the robots, whatever that she has to go in, to even build up why her being in it would be so difficult. Like, if she was, like, you know, stumbling and, like, literally trying to figure it out for longer, I just felt like this movie just had no tension when she landed on that ground, because like, she just got through everything.
Yeah, and this is also when they start the buddy comedy banter.
Yes.
So the back and forth between her and the AI at this part, that is sort of like is like some of the highest tension that you would even expect. She's on the ground in a machine she doesn't know. You know, it's like, it becomes like, you know, the Odd Couple. And Some of it, I was like, oh, okay, I'm chuckling a little bit. But then it got to a point where it was like so much. Like, it was just like so much of just like seeing her behind the glass joking with this thing while seemingly she's on a terrain where anybody could just pop up and kill her at any moment. So it was like, it was a weird choice to me to. It was not only was there no tension, they chose for there to not be. Like, they deliberately were like, it's funny now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was weird.
I don't know, man. This whole movie was like, you know what it is? It's just like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I think the tough part I had is that when she got in the robot, I stopped caring. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. When she got in the robot, I just stopped. I just truly stopped. And even when she would get mad at the robot, I was like, okay, I get it. You hate robots, but clearly you know this robot is going to save your life. And then at one point when I think the hardest part I was having, and I think this is the thing where I couldn't tell whether it was the script or J-Lo, is when she had those emotional moments in the actual robot, everything felt so forced. I was like, why is she doing, like, why is she crying at this point in time? Like, what, like, I was confused. I was honestly confused on that whole emotional arc from the time she got in that goddamn robot. Yo,
yeah.
I can't even hold it.
But that's why I think it's a little bit of both. But I think script takes the biggest issue. Like, if you had a different actor in there, then you might be along for the ride and only be going, "Foof, this script." But there is so much on her because it is a, to Bray's point, faceless AI. And then it's just her reacting and talking to it and confined. So like, we're just seeing her face, you know, kind of react to this stuff that she's going through. And she was like, she was connected, you know. Some of it was like, some of it felt like pushing, and some of it felt like a little bit like we're just like suddenly jumping into an emotion. But like, that's what was there in the script. So like her inability to be always feeling something, you know, I think, but I think it's also hard as a tough scenario where it's only her, like a movie where we're only seeing Robert Downey Jr. inside the Iron Man suit for like, for most of the movie. For as fun as that would be, there would be a certain point where you'd be like, okay, I'm tired of looking at this man inside this suit like this. Like you would, you need the like other people to be bouncing off of. You need a little bit more.
You know what else it is? We need because I'm trying to think of like movies that where this stuff works, like even something like Castaway. We need a sense of the loneliness that J-Lo is feeling and the helplessness. And I feel like the movie, the script doesn't really give us the ability to feel that because everything is seemingly happening kind of quickly. It's like we don't even get a moment where she recognizes, she like she doesn't even think like, oh, everybody's dead. I'm the only human left alive. I'm stranded on this island full of AI that wants to kill me. Like, you know, my life is probably over and I'm all alone. You know, like, I feel like we never really get a sense of, it's like she's just fighting with the AI about trying to take down, you know, what's Simu's character's name again?
Who knows, Bray?
Harlan.
This bad guy's name is Harlan. Harlan! Sorry, go ahead.
Here's the other thing that I was so confused by, like, the biggest reason why she didn't want, and it makes so, it does, this part of it makes sense. The biggest reason why she doesn't want a Neuralink is because she literally, when she was a child, saw her mom Neuralink with the robot, and that robot forced her mom to kill herself. So obviously, she'll never want a Neuralink. That is extreme justification, right? It makes a lot of sense. It's horrible, whatever. But the stated reason she gives before we find that out why she doesn't want a Neuralink is that she says AI can hack into anything. Now, we've seen this to be true. And she at this point doesn't know how they got ambushed so successfully. But I would at least be thinking, hey, did the AI hack something on our computer? You know what I mean? Like this idea that your Neuralinks are not able to be hacked feels false. We get confirmation later on in the movie that it is false. So I just like the whole, her whole resistance to wanting to have a Neuralink, there is nothing motivating the audience to want her to get over that fear. Right.
Yeah.
What there's nothing to, for us to be motivated by that. We, as an audience member, I'm looking at it going like, I don't know. It feels like she, without even knowing her past, feels like she's right. This AI is kicking y'all's butts. If you Neuralink with AI and it hacks into the AI, then your brain is literally getting hacked. That sounds like something I never want to happen ever. Are you kidding me? So it's like, why would she? And we have no evidence that you Neuralinking with AI will help save you because it didn't save anybody else.
Yeah.
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 So it's like, we don't, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, the only time I bought it was that moment when she's fallen into the sinkhole. And it literally seemed like, to me, it was like, this does seem like the only thing that would make you Neuralink because she was moving so slow before, like the impulses were slow. And it was like, well, if you got to get out of whatever this situation is, and y'all and you and it's going to take an extra 4 seconds to do every task, then Neuralink, because that's the only way you're going to get out, because I don't know how you're going to get. But beyond that, I was like, yeah, it doesn't feel beyond that. I was like, yeah, all of this, it doesn't make sense. To
Right. And then, well, so then we get a weird, this weird thing of like they Neuralink, but it's only like 89%,
which makes no
sense. I don't even know what that means. And it's like, OK. And
because she don't like path.
And then that's happening. And then they're like, they're kind of hearing each other's thoughts.
No, because she didn't tell him if she liked Pye or not.
Right. So she wasn't being open. Listen, if you like pie and cake, which, again, good for you, because I like pie, but depends on the pie. Depends on the pie. I'm not a peach pie guy.
So I'll say that this, I mean, they kept figuring out, trying to find ways to create conflict between her and the AI, this being one of them. But it's frustrating when the stakes are as high as they are for such a large amount of this movie to be her battling with an invisible computer, because it's like there's an AI that's gonna like try to blow up the world or whatever the fuck he's trying to do. I don't know if we know that that's what he's trying to do yet. That is like this oppressive force over so much of the movie. We haven't even seen him yet. Why am I watching this? Like, why am I watching her like argue mm-hmm. about cake? Why am I watching her argue about, you know, just yeah. shoot the damn rockets.
What life like, is. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to. Like, to the movie's credit, I guess they invent a lot of different things to like to keep that going, you know, to like keep that up for 2 hours. But there's other things that are more interesting than this that like they don't write. And that's
did
so
we review
frustrating.
The creator for this podcast.
I don't think we did.
I don't think I don't so. Think yeah, I don't
okay.
Remember.
I saw that movie and I that movie is also hard for similar reasons, but I have much more appreciation for that film after watching this, because mm-hmm. it's a similar thing. I mean, it's similar in some ways. Like, there is a war going on between AI and humans, but humans are more of the aggressor than AI. There's like an AI that John David Washington is with that he's like having that he's supposed to be like he's supposed to kill or at least capture, but then winds up protecting, and then he creates this bond with an AI, you know, in this way that's interesting. And like, but all these AI, like I said, they have human faces, and so again, it's much mm-hmm. easier to connect with them emotionally because of that.
Technically, so do they in this movie, like with Simu.
Right, that's right. But they all have right.
Yeah, yeah.
But all of those ones are just bad. Are just bad guys.
Yeah. Oh, good point. Good point. Good point.
You know, so it's like, so we're supposed to. So J-Lo is supposed to care about the voice. It would just be so much more effective if she was traveling with another AI. What if she was traveling with one of like a seem like an AI that looked like Harlan, but just wasn't Harlan. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like even that just makes it, if they just all look like Harlan, even that would just make this movie so much better, because we would understand it like from a human level, like her caring about like essentially for us, what is just Siri doesn't really make any sense. I understand her arguing with it about like it being like, this is my protocol. Like, you have to do this. And she's like, no, we have to do this. Okay, I get that. But her like caring about like being like her the fact that at the end of this movie, we get her being like, I don't want you to quote unquote die. I'm just like, I don't buy this. Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
I just don't. We're like, I get that this robot, this AI helped her, but like, when in this process does she feel like, what is his name? Smith or
Smith? Yeah.
Yeah, the robot Smith. Yeah.
When at this point does she feel like Smith has a soul? Because that's what we're supposed to get to.
Yeah. They don't even link fully.
Not fully. Nope.
Until fully. Like 10 minutes before he dies and she bears her soul to him. So it does. I don't know. Right. Exactly. And I don't know that the movie doesn't fully earn it. I like it as an idea, you know. I liked the what I guess is sacrificing the queen. I wanted to be moved by this, but felt like they moved too quickly through the movie, and you know, in order to connect with this stuff at the end. I liked like what was happening.
I will also say though, this movie is like 2 hours. It's not, it did not need to be longer.
What I mean is,
bro, it was so long. Okay, so I'm just complaining. Let me see.
What I mean is, like, it's like the bulk of the movie is her being like, I hate AI, and not her connecting to the AI or whatever, or getting to the, it's like, and the real journey, or at least the plot beats, are like, they fly to the planet, they crash land on the planet, she has to get to the escape pod. That's what she has to do. And like, the whole journey is her talking to a faceless AI while she's trying to get to the thing, while dealing with like this deep trauma of like, I think I'm the reason that AI are sentient, and I'm responsible for the deaths of 3 million people. But we don't, anytime something big happens like that, the learning of that, it happens in a moment. It happens in an instant. It's like, everyone's dead. Okay, we've spent no time with anybody. I'm responsible for the AI. I'm going to tell you in this one moment. And like, we're not going to spend any time dealing with this because now we have a big battle scene at the end. Like, those are the big emotional plot points all happened instantly, instead of like in times that we could deal with them or sit in them or anything like that. And so that, it was that stuff that was troubling for me, or frustrating for me.
Yeah. I think my biggest problem with this film is that the reason that Atlas doesn't like AI is 1000% justified, not just from her own personal backstory point of view, but from literally what's happening in the world. Like, the reality of this world is that AI, a particular AI, took over other AI and killed people and was trying to commit massive genocide on human beings and it was just a generic reason, humans are killing the planet, and so we have to do this, even though his plan ultimately was to use a carbon bomb that was going to like also kill off life on the planet, not just human life, but all kinds of life. So that doesn't make any sense, but whatever. So that's his plan, and she doesn't want to be Neuralinked because she has a fear that it could be hacked into. A fear which is proven correct.
Yes.
In the movie.
The beginning.
I don't understand. In the beginning and towards the end with their supposedly updated technology. So I don't understand why. It's just like the motivation for her to overcome this fear doesn't make. What would make so much more sense. And I don't even think it would necessarily have to change much in this film. Is if she needed AI that was like Simu to help beat him, right? Mm. And was like, I don't ever want to work with I don't want to work with AI robots that walk around or like human beings or whatever. Like, to me, that would have made more sense than like the Neuralink stuff, which again, I know we're supposed to believe, well, she wouldn't have beat him if it wasn't for this Neuralink. The movie doesn't make me buy that. Like,
There's also no reason to assume that,
yeah,
that Smith isn't going to turn, you know, because we don't quite understand why Simu turned in the first place beyond an understanding of what it means for humans to advance, you know.
And then there's so many logic gaps in this film. Like, how did they hack Smith once, but then couldn't hack him again? Like, what happened?
Because I think Smith became sentient and was like, now at that point, protecting himself.
Right. The link wasn't 100% right yet.
He figured out how to.
They weren't supposed to be able to do it in the first place. So. And he was saying they cannot do it when they weren't fully like, yeah. There's no reason for it, I don't think.
He literally says, like, what it's happening. She's like, are you getting hacked? And he's like, how is this possible? You know? So I'm just like, so you didn't know how it was possible. They did it, but then couldn't do it again? And then the other thing I was just like, I mean, just small things like, how is Sterling K. Brown not dead? Why wouldn't they have killed him? That doesn't
didn't
make any
take
sense.
His eyes out or something?
They definitely penetrated his eye with something. Yeah.
Absolutely. So even if he doesn't necessarily die from that, why would they keep him alive? You know what I mean? And why would they leave a Neuralink in his pocket?
No way. No way. They would scan him. They would see the Neuralink. They would take.
And why would they left? Why would they leave Smith not destroyed? Like, none of that made any sense.
No way.
This is artificial intelligence. This is, they're thinking about every possibility. And if Harlan is a person who's thinking through everything, which is what a computer would do, they would try to eliminate as much as possible. And like, he's like, I underestimated you. But I'm like, the underestimation was huge. Like, it had nothing. It really had nothing to do with her. It was, you didn't kill Sterling. You didn't kill Smith. You didn't destroy the Neuralink. She really had barely anything to do with it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Yep. This movie. Also, the fight at the end when you finally got to Simu was so trash.
And we've already seen that. Like, they just stole from Pacific Rim with that sword thing. And we've seen that style of fight already. So, like, it was just boring.
Yeah, I remember RoboCop 3 when RoboCop had to fight the ninjas and a ninja was bouncing around and shit because it was like a robot ninja. But the ninja had a sword and RoboCop couldn't get, you know, RoboCop moved slow, so he couldn't get to him.
Right.
But the ninja was just like slicing his little ass up. That's all I kept thinking about while watching this movie. Like, this robot is going to slice him up. Like, man, I'm over it. What a bad fight. What a bad fight.
Also, can you explain to me why when she got shot up, the bullets didn't go through the glass, even though when we saw all those other people who were dead,
bullets
all of their glass,
all the glass
was...
Bullets through all the glass.
I was like, what? I was like, what? What is her? What makes her suit so special? Everybody else got shot the hell up.
Bullets,
but for some reason,
all the glass.
Also, how was he not dead? I don't understand him. Didn't he pierce his fusion core?
He was right about to. There was one last, because he was aiming for the fusion core, but he didn't fully pierce it yet. And that was the last, he had 1% left of fusion or whatever. And that was the last, thing. And he used that last 1% to funnel it into the oxygen.
Funneling the oxygen. Lord have mercy. Guys.
I thought he pierced it and then he looked up and she was gone.
Oh, did he? Oh, maybe he did.
Whatever.
I mean, they did have 1% left. I just thought it was like, oh, there was one more thing left to do. But maybe he did.
I thought he was just saying killing her. Mm-hmm. But whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that might have been it.
And then I don't know how all these people came back. Why did her message go through, but not she was the only person who sent a message? What?
Yeah,
bro. What?
How did any of that happen?
No, what? I was just like, the ship didn't send a message. None of these other people falling from the sky sent a message. She was the only one who sent a message.
Maybe
out.
Other
like,
messages.
Yo,
were
we getting effed up down here. yo, they're taking us out, bro.
Maybe there was no time. Maybe she was, because she was the only one who. Well, no, because they all landed at, they all got to the rendezvous point. So somebody had to have made a sent a message off. I don't know.
We get messed up out here.
They were like, has anybody else said, have we heard from anyone else? And that woman was like, nope.
Oh, that's right.
All we got was the
main ship. She was the only one that sent a message about the ship. Oh, that's right. Oh, but it's because, here's why though. It's because I actually think this is supposed to be why. So the ship gets shot down, but then the drones, Simu's drones, take it and send it and, you know, and take the ship itself to his hideout. But no one gets off a message because they get ransacked. Like, it's because of the ambush that nobody else sends out a message. So then she sends a message.
I guess. I feel like they could have got it.
They could have, but I feel like I at least understand what they want us to think happened, which I think is that, which is like, no one got off a message because they were so busy with the firefight. She gets off a message because she's sleuthing, and that's the only one that they get.
I just don't understand how not a single other person landed on the ground and didn't send a message.
You would also think there's some kind of like automated distress, because that's now in every movie now too. Like, oh, an automated distress signal from the such and such.
That's in real life.
Yeah,
that's in real life. The plane go down. It's been like that since the 70s.
Yeah,
baby.
You just an automatic distress signal would have been sent out. So,
yeah, whatever. All right. Well, that's Atlas.
We watched it.
We watched it.
Go us.
Oh yeah.
I will say it makes me, it truly makes me go, should I just be writing generic movie scripts and trying to get these babies? So like,
yes.
Because
Brain.
That
Jonathan,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. You out here trying to make art, Bray? This James. This nigga out here trying to like have
it's
a message.
Like, I've seen enough movies that I can just copy another, just a bunch of amalgamation of other films and just
Bray. Why are you saying this? Like,
yes,
making James. Some generic thing. Just put some James. Stars in it.
John, you hit your boy. Jonathan Braylock. What was he trying to make? Citizen Kane out there, Joe? What is nigga doing?
Yes, right. If you have what the am time, I, what was if I you doing? Have the time, right.
Right.
Generic script.
Do you see this? Is what I mean by this, I do mean this in a way that, like, I think is I probably brought this up. I am so fascinated by the Netflix top 10. All these movies that get trashed that people are like, oh, when it came out 10, 20 years ago, they were so bad. That should be number one for a month. Bray, who are you trying to educate, bro? What were you trying to say? No, Bray, you know what you need to make a no. Here's a movie for you, Bray. Here's a movie for you. Okay. All right, there's a family, the parents go on a trip, the kids run out of peanut butter and they don't have no money for make sandwiches. Now they gotta go on a robbing, they gotta go on a robbing spree of the neighborhood to get enough money and they start liking it, but it's a hard comedy. Boom!
Bro, they do not make hard comedies. This film, I forgot to say that this film is a 19% on Rotten Tomatoes, 45% audience score. The critical consensus says Jennifer Lopez admirably does her best to shoulder Atlas's seismic scope, but this sci-fi spectacle buckles under the weight of a script whose intelligence is merely artificial.
Oh! Oh my goodness. Yo, whoever wrote that was patting themselves on the back after the-
I thought there was so much bad special effects in this film. But maybe that stuff was like rush job. Maybe some of that stuff on Earth was just like a rush job.
You mean the opening, right?
The opening was
Weird because it was like they kept trying to show us that it was like found footage, you know, that it was like CCTV footage and like this happened in the past. And it's just like, just film it like you would film anything else. It probably would look better.
This is the last thing I'll say. I hated the fact that the clip, when you're on Netflix and you have a movie, they kind of don't show a trailer. They show like a clip of the movie. And the clip of the movie that Netflix shows for Atlas is when Jennifer Lopez comes and is doing a briefing to all these people on the spaceship who are about to go on this mission. Who are on this mission. And she's
That's
like,
probably the clip you got. I would bet like people get different clips probably.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. So the clip that I got was that clip. And she's handing out paper. And people are like, paper? Where'd you even get a printer? Like, what is this? And she's like, from now on, we're going analog, you know, that even includes your Neuralinks. Like, AI can hack into anything. Like, we have to know that, you know?
Their ship is an analog.
Thank you, Jara. Exactly. I was literally like, what are we talking about? They're all about to go down with robots who are all Neuralinked. So this whole scene doesn't make any sense. Nope.
It's a fun idea, but
it is a fun idea that's not explored in any way, shape, or form at all in the movie. And I just felt so swindled. I was like, this movie has nothing to do with people trying to take down AI without using artificial intelligence or things that could be hacked into. Like, it's not about that. So
yeah,
what are we doing? And other movies have done that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Because also it's like, just because my Neuralink is off, I still read this information. So the second I Neuralink with my computer, it's going to know what I've read. So what is, like, it's not like a record. It doesn't work like a recording where it wasn't recording, so therefore it doesn't know. No, the second you plug it in my brain, you now know what I know. What are we talking about? Yeah, it was annoying. still fun as an idea. Like, it's fun to be like, we're going to hide from the Neuralink, but like, that's not how you hide from a Neuralink, you know?
Well, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood or actors of color. If we think the film fully helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If we think it's someone helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If you think it doesn't really help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for
I Atlas, actually need
not
one
based
second.
On how much we liked it as a movie.
Can you give me a second? I need a second.
I'm going
to
give you three
to
seconds.
To think about it?
Okay. I need to be three.
To think about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I need to think
I'm
about
gonna
it.
I'm going to give you three.
I need to three, think about
hold.
It.
Here we go. All right. One.
Oh, no.
Two.
Just give me a second. Right.
Three.
No! No! How? How?
All right, I gave it a fist.
A fist?
What?
James gave it a palm.
I'm surprised.
Teron didn't give it anything.
I'm surprised
what?
You gave it a
Let
full
me go
fist.
First.
Okay.
Let me get, I'm gonna go first. I'm gonna be quick. To me, these are the movies that are hurting movies. Like, this is what people say when, like, we're making content. We don't care about the art. And also, it's not doing that well. Like, we spent a bunch of money on this movie. The script was bad. It lasted at number one on Netflix for like a week, maybe. We didn't utilize Sterling K. Brown. Didn't utilize Simu Lee. I mean, I feel like if this movie would have came out in theaters, it cost $100 million. It has 60 million views or downloads. So let's equate that. Let's equate that to $60 million. That's not 100. That's not the budget back. Okay. Even if you double that and it's 120, that did okay. So to me, nothing about this movie was fun. Like, I didn't have any fun. I didn't have any fun with the acting. And again, this is the type of movie I don't want to see get made anymore. Yeah. So nothing.
I gave it a, I think what you just said is right.
I gave it a fist.
But I did get, I gave it a palm because, like, if I'm just thinking about sci-fi in general, like, you know, female leads are not necessarily rare, you know, Alien being one of the most famous ones, but like, it's, you know, and people of color in the leads, like, that's rare. And, you know, and like, and people of color, strong supporting roles, particularly the ones that are in this movie. I think it's cool that they got this shot. And so for that, I gave it a palm. I didn't feel like I could give it a fist because it was J-Lo. And I do think that, like, her star is shining pretty bright. So it's like, if you're going to give it to somebody that's a person of color, it's like, she's probably on your list. Or maybe not. Maybe it's a big deal that they gave it to her. But that's why I gave it a palm.
Yeah. Okay. So the reason I gave it a fist is because I hate that this is where movies are at. This movie wasn't good, but this is where movies are at, and people did watch it. And I don't know, man. I mean, if you're going to make these generic films that feel like TV movies, but they have stars in them, hey, if they got stars of color, I mean, technically that counts. And
that one is,
you know,
bad.
We're in it.
I think it does count when it bads, right? Like, it's like,
I think Netflix doesn't care that they're bad. If people are watching them, then they're watching them.
If this movie bombed, then it's like, okay, yeah, we give it nothing. But because it didn't bomb, right?
And it can't bomb, right? Like, it can't actually bomb because it's not, there's not, people don't have to pay money necessarily to see it. They just have to click on it. And people are clicking on it. And I think these movies being at home, it's like, they're like, people are like, all right, I'll go see it. Like, I'll push it. And if Netflix is saying, hey, we can push movies with actors of color to the forefront and people will watch them, regardless of whether or not they're good, then I'm like, great. That means that they'll keep allowing people of color to star in these films. And because you know they're going to keep making these bad movies.
Yeah.
Or good movies. Or really good movies.
Ray trying to get a job at the end of the podcast. At the end of the podcast, trying to get a job.
Ray, right?
Ray, you can't, like, yeah, you know, depending on the budget of these movies.
I'm just saying, Netflix, you should keep putting people of color in leads. You know what I mean? For your movies. And maybe make some more of those. And maybe some of them are comedies. Starring three black men.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. You can find us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, or X and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have a link there for our Patreon and our Red Circle, which are, it's our subscriber-based podcast. $5 a month. You get to listen to a whole bunch of exclusive episodes. We just reviewed the movie Babes, starring Alana Glazer and Michelle Buteau. We had the film Monkey Man on there, American Society of Magical Negroes. So you get to hear films like that. We do that every 2 weeks. And there's a whole bunch of episodes there already to listen to. So sign up for that. Helps us keep this podcast free. We'll be back here in 2 weeks. You can follow me at John Braylock. I'm on a Herald team called This Is She at UCB, Franklin in LA.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., ruleofthreeinc.com. Listen to Tiny Dinos. It's every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan. You can also see me in person on Hollywood Boulevard. I got my bongos. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Don't bongos, tell people to come see you on Hollywood Boulevard. What does that mean? Because you're not doing that.
I'm trying to pay rent. I got my bongos.
You're not doing that. Don't tell people
to see. I'm trying to play tunes.
People will go to Hollywood Boulevard trying to see if they can see.
If you come, if you come near the Hard Rock Hotel, listen. One more month. Y'all about to see me out there, baby, with a bongo. I ordered a bongo and some skates. Y'all gonna see my black ass skating in circles with a bongo. Talk about some. Welcome to the Coco Cabana. All right. All right. That's it for me.
Awesome. If you review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes. We'll read your review on the air. This is by The Dead Sams. It's also about Madam Web. They say, I'm finally giving this podcast a review for their service in watching the bomb that is Madam Web. Even though the movie was awful, these three did a great job on the episode. I was cracking up the whole time.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We will see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.